A Pod Forte Podcast.
The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plana, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plana, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. In this episode of the Next CMO podcast, we speak to Mariana Kogan, the CMO of People.ai. Mariana has a fantastic career. She spent many years as the Senior Vice President of Digital at PTC, a multi-billion dollar software company in the Boston area, and it recently took her first full-time CMO gig. We talked to Mariana about how she took that role, what's important for her, how to humanize the marketing discussion, and much, much more. I'm sure you'll enjoy the show.
Mariana, thank you so much for joining the Next CMO podcast today. We're super excited to have you on the show. Would love to learn a little bit more about you and what you do at People.ai.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Kelsey. Thanks, Peter. Very excited to be here talking to everybody. So People.ai is a leader in enterprise revenue intelligence. So we pretty much help companies to improve their revenue teams so that they can really optimize engagement so that they can work much better with the right people in the right accounts so that they can really, you know, increase deal size, increase volume of deals, you know, decrease the time to closing a deal. Because at the end of the day, people buy from people. So if you can optimize that engagement, you get to places. So that's a little bit of what People.ai does.
Great. And I know, Mariana, we've known each other for quite a while now. I'm trying to remember when we met first. I think we met at a conference in Boston back probably many years ago when you were at PTC. I think you were the VP of digital at the time there, but you're currently the chief marketing officer. And this is your first CMO gig, right? And so tell us about that. Tell us about the transition from working at a big company as a senior executive in charge of a function of marketing and transitioning to a medium-sized company, let's call it, as the top marketing exec. What was that like?
That's a great question, Peter. And indeed, I think we've known each other for, you know, quite a good number of years. The Boston crowd, I believe that you live about maybe 10 minutes away from my house. So it's been a really good, you know, knowing you. So yes, quite a transition. But the way that I describe it is that at the end of the day, it's less of a job description and much more of the impact that you can have. How can you move the needle? So you move the needle in very different ways. You know, PTC was, you know, as you know, much larger organization. I was there for, you know, 8 years, I believe it was. Much more that, you know, global scale, digital transformation. So it was a wonderful time. It's there that, you know, I got phenomenal, you know, sponsors. The career was really good. You know, I met people again like yourself, you know, Peter Vescuso, Eric Snow, Charlie Ungashik, you know, a lot of the, you know, the very well-known people in the marketing space in the Boston area. So it was a really good journey. And again, you know, moving the needle, really the transformation of, you know, making PTC's, you know, marketing team to be much more data-driven, very revenue-driven, you know, and that was extremely exciting. One of the things that I did at PTC, which was building the pipeline printing machine, the digital transformation of PTC's, you know, revenue teams. And it actually included buying on the same day. I bought from Sixth Sense Intent, from People.ai Sales Engagement, and from Drift Conversational Intelligence. So it was by putting those three technologies together. I've always had a little bit of a background here in the technology space that, you know, went to help with the, you know, leading the transformation of PTC, you know, won, you know, Forrester Program of the Year by the combination of the technologies. We delivered like $20 million in the first, you know, pilot. So in a sense, the transition to working with People.ai was very smooth. It was a little bit more about now that I've been a customer that I've been doing the, you know, the digital transformation leveraging marketing technologies in such a large enterprise. Now let's take it to how do you help other companies going through the that are going through the same process? Because all of us, we are under so much pressure to deliver revenue, to deliver growth. So it was a very natural change. You know, at People AI, you know, I'm working closer with, you know, of course, the positioning, the messaging, the branding, because it's so close to my heart. Different to maybe, you know, the times that I have worked in much more of engineering, industrial, you know, technologies. So that is extremely exciting, you know, seeing them, you know, growing. It's really been a good experience. The transition has been a lot of fun.
Speaking of a lot of pressure, obviously, this is your first CMO stint. This is your first time being a CMO. And, you know, there's that overweighing stat of, you know, the shortest tenure of the C-suite is the CMO, is the 1 year, 9 months. So even though I'm sure it's really exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time, what do you think as a new CMO you can bring to the table and help others bring to the table to really combat this challenge that CMOs are facing today?
It is a very valid point. I believe that I published something in Forbes magazine a couple of months ago on this topic because you're absolutely right. You know, the CMO is the C-suite that we tend to stay a little bit of the shortest period of time at the table than maybe some of the other, you know, C-suite members. What I always recommend people and what it's been my mantra is that you have to start with the revenue. The world changed. 70-80% of the buyer's journey happen in the digital space, happen in the website, happens through delivering the right content to the right person at the right time. So, of course, we have to be owning that revenue conversation, and it's tough. So I, you know, what I've been doing is that the closer that you can stay to delivering pipeline, to delivering growth, to delivering revenue as a priority, would start buying you the time to be doing the other things that are as important. But again, you know, the challenge with the CMO is that we own, what, 20 different disciplines? Communications, PR, product marketing, positioning, content, 20 different things. You cannot be doing a little bit of all of them. You cannot start with the one that maybe you like the most. There's a little bit of a tendency sometimes for CMOs to start with, you know, rebranding. Yes, it's a nice way to maybe, you know, mark your territory, but it's going to make it harder for you to stay longer. So that's one. And then the second component, you know, and I'm sure all of you have heard plenty from Latney, from all these, you know, different wonderful women that are in the redefining of the role from chief marketing officer to a chief market officer. So the more that you can not just talk about, we're going to be having 3 webinars and we're going to be, you know, putting this new piece of content, but really what's happening in the market? Mm-hmm. Because the market team, if 70-80% of the buyer's journey happened digitally, it is us that can bring to the table the what is happening with our vendors, our buyers, you know. What is that value-driven conversation that we need to have? What problem are we really solving? So the more that we can start helping the whole organization, because now we start influencing product. Now we're starting to influence sales. Now we're starting to influence customer success because we know the market. And knowing the market means really thinking about your customer first. If you can bring those two things to the table, I think that you can deliver results. Is it stressful? Yes. But if it was easy, everybody will be able to do it.
That is probably true, Mariana. And you talk about the breadth of the role, and obviously it's a complex role. Obviously, you have to be able to understand a lot of different disciplines. And tell me how that was for you coming in. So Mariana, for people that don't know her, is very well known in the digital marketing field because she was a senior executive at a very large company. PTC was about, I don't know, somewhere between $1 and $2 billion of revenue. So doing this at a very large scale. So very well known in that domain. And I know your background is broader than that. But what was it like coming in to the CMO role? Because you have to balance this idea of, all right, I'm known as a deep digital person. I certainly can speak to the revenue intelligence kind of world of what People.ai does. But you spend more of your time on the non-digital stuff. I know you've also built a fantastic team. Do you augment your own experience with senior leaders in areas where you may not have had as much experience? So tell me about how you've approached the job as you're now trying to sort of broaden out your remit to handle all of these things.
It is a combination of a couple of different things. On one hand, it's exactly what you mentioned, that it's building a team of experts. At the end of the day, I'm only, you know, as good as all the people that come to work with me every day, that we drive in the same direction, we have the same purpose, we get excited about what we're doing, and me empowering, but also me letting everybody run with the areas that are, they're experts. So on one hand, it's been that I have, you know, some really good people, you know, working with, you know, with me. So that's been, you know, one component. You know, in the very short term, I was using, you know, you're talking about, we're starting to move into the gig economy. So there's many of these areas of expertise that now you don't have to know yourself as to be micromanaging them. You might not even have somebody in-house that is an expert, but you need to know enough to hire the best person out there that can come in and in days already start delivering. So that's a second, you know, component that is very, you know, very important to build this. The third area that I always like highlighting is that you have to have a plan. And that allows you to make that combination of, when do I start with an area that is my expertise? Once that I, you know, I saw how, you know, things were at PTC, where do I need my own expertise? Where do I need a consultant expertise? Where do I need the team expertise? And there is also a past life with me where I did branding, advertisement, a bunch of different things that I, you know, that I've done in the past. But it's really building that team, whether it's internal, it's external, with the skill sets, with the passion, and more than anything else, also prioritization. Because at the end of the day, even if people knew every single discipline, there's never going to be enough resources to be able to execute on everything, on chase after everything. You know, I'm actually an economist by training. So I'm very big into the prioritization of resources. There's one, you know, the typical basic law. There's always going to be unlimited wants for very limited resources. So I think by the combination of those four components is that I've been able to transition and have a lot of fun with the team. Absolutely.
So it's amazing. I've known you for all these years. I never knew you were an economist. So that is fascinating, Mariana. And it actually brings me to another question, which is about, so economists are great at thinking very strategically with sort of large data sets with long periods of time. And that, of course, is a skill that's really critical for CMOs. You're in a unique world where you're very focused on this idea of revenue optimization and revenue intelligence, which is very much the here and now. And you've talked about the fact that it's important for CMOs to have that focus, to have a revenue accountability and focus. But you also need a balance because the CMO job is really strategic. You need to think about long periods of time. So how do you square that with having this accountability for the near-term revenue while balancing this strategic need to make sure that you're driving the company, the brand, the vision in the right direction?
It is a complicated balance, absolutely. And that's what I mentioned, you know, in the previous question, the fact that you have to have a plan. You have to have a vision. You have to know where you want to be so that then you can start dissecting that granularity to what is it that you need to do today. Because if you think too much just about what you want to be doing today, then you're missing the long term. If you think too much about the long term, you can be, you know, in a philosophical world for, you know, the next, you know, 2 years. I think that, you know, this is one of the things that I bring to the table on how I move the needle, that I have that background as an economist. So I'm a little bit more of that longer term, what's going to happen, what's my plan. I tend to have my annual plan at a high level. Everything is changing. You know, we went through, you know, we've been going through war. The economy could not have played in a worse way. I mean, look at what happened yesterday with Wall Street. So it is an agile plan, but the plan has to be there with the vision, kind of like the why. And then a very tactical execution. I mean, at some point when I used to report into Peter Vescoo, so he used to call me Chop, because my world is like, Chop, can we do it by tomorrow morning? You know, everybody that works with me, like, well, don't ask Mariana by when, because she's going to tell you, like, can you have it by the end of the day? Why not? And if we cannot be done by the end of the day, by tomorrow morning? Or what do you need from her to deliver it by tomorrow? So I can manage those two components. And I believe that, you know, I've been able to build teams that can work very comfortably in that combination of that long-term, that vision, the why, but very tactical, very executional, very also with a lot of accountability. I believe that's one of the things that manages to put those two things together. You know, when I still remember the first, you know, revenue kickoff that we did at People AI, where I had the slides on the deliverables from, you know, from marketing after having spoken about, you know, my journey with People AI, customers, the way that I see the market and conversations with the analysts and so on, I will have deliverable and dates. People are like, are you crazy? And you just join and you want to put dates? Everybody's going to be holding you accountable to the dates. I'm like, well, that's what I want. I want myself and I want the team to be accountable to have things done by a certain date, because then you can have very great conversations at a longer term, because you have gotten that reputation that you will deliver what needs to be done for the deliverables, the results that need to be accomplished quarter by quarter.
Yeah, it's a great philosophy to have, Mari. And you're right, it's a balance between that long-term strategic, but connecting it to the plan sounds really fantastic. And by the way, you reference all these smart people that Mariana worked with over the years. Peter Vescuso, I always say his name wrong, but he's the CMO over at Dragos now, I think. And Kelsey, we definitely have to reach out to Peter. Hopefully he's listening. Hi, Peter, and get him on the show. Charlie Ungershick is another one. We had Charlie on the show back a while ago. Yeah. So a really great team out of PTC over the years. Somehow there was something in the water there. And speaking of something in the water, I don't know what it is these days, but some of the smartest CMOs I have interacted with in the last several months even are really smart women from the south of the United States. So from Latin women. And I'm seeing a big push in that. Is that something, is it just me recognizing that in a small network, or have you seen a shift in that area where more Latin women are finding the top seat in US-based companies?
It's a very interesting question. And going back just very quickly to Peter Vescuso, because I think it puts the two conversations together. I started working with him reporting as vice president. And I still remember having gone to Peter and say, you know, Peter, I'm going to need you to go to war for me. He's like, wow, what do you need? I'm like, well, I think it's time for my promotion. It's time for me. You know, I've been delivering this and, you know, this whole thing. He was a phenomenal, you know, sponsor, somebody who really took the time, his own, you know, political, you know, capital to really, you know, help me through my transition to the next stage in my career. So I think it's people like, you know, again, like Peter, like Charlie, you know, Barry Cohen that is now retired, that are starting to help for more of, you know, people with a background like mine to start making it to the top. It's still the beginning, because as a female Latin in technology, it's only the 1%. Then you start putting the title and it's, you know, it's much less than, you know, much more less than that. But I think you're going to start seeing more faces. You know, there's more people that are sponsoring. You know, the world is becoming a little bit more comfortable with diversity and inclusion. I always tell people I have an accent. I speak fast. But I have wonderful ideas. There's more time, that more people that now can take the time to say, okay, let me hear. She might have something interesting to say. So I think that's kind of what you start, you know, seeing. You know, National Instruments also got a, you know, phenomenal, you know, Latin CMO. There's a few places where we're starting to see this. So I hope it's not only what you're seeing, but it's what the industry is starting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a great conversation back a few, maybe a month or two ago with Anna Villegas, who's the CMO of National Instruments, as an example.
Great friend. I like Anna a lot.
Found it to the top seat. You know, I don't know if you know, Gil Miner is the CMO, you know, of Iterable, who was in the last episode we just published in, I think she grew up in Brazil. So, you know, we seem to be finding the 1%, which is good. And I think it is an important, it is an important trend. I think you're starting to see just different perspectives and different voices coming into to the CMO suite, which I think is a really important transition for most companies. And I think more and more companies are becoming global. And some of this may be because, you know, it's not about people who happen to live 10 miles from the headquarters. Although ironically, as you said, you live 10 minutes from me. And so it's not like you're that far away. But I think that's sort of opening up opportunities for people too. I think people are realizing in a global economy that talent is global, and whether they grew up in a different place or currently live in a different place, I think there are opportunities to tap into talent in a much broader way.
And I think you're touching on something really important because, you know, when it comes to that C-suite, it is our responsibility to help companies to have a much more diverse workforce. And the more that there is somebody, you know, in the top seat, it allows for, you know, the younger generation also to get inspired. It allows for potential employees to feel like, you know, this is a place that I might just feel at home. And that's really what allows, you know, to start getting top talent. Many times when, you know, in interviews, they like asking me, you know, what's your secret weapon? And one of them is that I can hire, you know, very diverse talent. Whether it's female, you know, Latin, there's, you know, so many different diversities, but being comfortable with the fact that everybody is a little bit different, that if you set up the table in a way that the quiet person can talk, the creative person can be expressive, maybe at a table that normally is a bit more engineering, just you start really getting the best out of everybody. You know, one of the things that I did, you know, at PTC is, you know, hiring a lot of, you know, moms with younger. And it was just by allowing some level of flexibility that I will have people that were so dedicated, so capable. The market automation team at PTC is excellent, maybe one of the best in the industry. And it has a lot of that diversity component because at the end of the day, we know that more diverse companies are more innovative and more innovative companies are more diverse because you have different people at the table. And that's the beauty of being able to work now even more with being remote. You can have phenomenal creative. I mean, I have a lot of my creative crowd in agencies in Mexico. You have phenomenal people. You're starting to get a lot of excellent content coming from the Philippines. So you can make them up, but you are a little bit more used to it. And I think that's a lot of what, you know, a lot of people like Anna and myself, we bring to the table in helping to move the needle.
Absolutely. And you're certainly seeing in this world a lot more of the ability to sort of unbundle the locations of companies and think much more broadly and bring in more talent. And even, you know, our little company, you know, we had this policy of, hey, we wanted to hire people who'd be willing to drive into downtown Boston because we felt like that personal connection was really important. And now we've seen, as we've grown a fair amount, we've seen that, and we don't have an office anymore because we're now fully virtual. We've seen, you know, people like Kelsey move to Florida, and we've hired people from all around the country. And, you know, our head of sales is in Atlanta, and we've got our, you know, people in customer success from Wisconsin, and we've got people from all over the place. And I think that it really opens up the talent marketplace in a different way.
So it helps also people to have that balance between, you know, personal work. I mean, a lot of us, we grew up a little bit more throughout the years of, you know, work. But now you can be, I have a couple of people that are, you know, have been based in Mexico for a few months. They love Mexico City, wonderful city, by the way. And they can be working there, and it's the same to me. Boston is an expensive city, so it doesn't surprise me. Some of the, you know, the younger crowd would like to be living somewhere else. So it allows also for that balance, to have the purpose, to be happy. We're now getting into, you know, being much more conscious about mental health. And it is one of the things that allow you to potentially be working in a place if you like maybe more the, I don't know, the mountains, if you're more of a city person, or you want to be close to your family. You know, it allows for a lot of that balance.
The beaches and the palm trees won me. But I do want to switch gears here, right, real quick, because I think it's really important that, you know, you bring the humanization to the workforce, but also in marketing too. And people buy from people. Marketers market to people, not companies, not robots. So how is us as marketers, specifically in the B2B space, because I think adapting a B2C approach is actually really beneficial, but how can we continue to push this in our approach to marketing?
It's a great topic because you're talking about the humanization of the brand. And once upon a time, that was the role of the B2C space. In the B2B world, we used to sell into buildings. For some reason, we thought that an account was a building. That it's really time to be changing that. Because at the end of the day, I really think that is B2H. It's really business to humans. And you could even say that is human to human, people to people. Because you work in a large organization, it doesn't really mean that you're born and bred inside a building and you're next to a fax machine. You are the same person that throughout the day you did shopping in Amazon, you were watching things on Netflix, you know, you have a family that you care, you got goals, you got purpose. So the more that we can humanize, and that's something that I started doing at PTC with the digital transformation of the website, really moving away from a product-driven conversation to really, you know, a human-driven conversation from something as basic as the images on the website, making sure that it was more reflective of the diversity of the world, you know, really getting into content that is not that long content, that it's really, you know, designed for maybe the end user as a manual, but we all are just humans. I mean, we're trying to do the best that we can. You know, we are at work and there's a problem that we want to solve and we want to find the right content at the right time because that makes your life easier. That makes you go home to be happier. It, you know, it helps you to go and talk to your boss and say, hey, this is a problem that we've been having. I found this content that, you know, it really shows a solution. It makes a digital experience much more, you know, personable. It makes a brand that you can trust. Again, not because we sell in the enterprise level, doesn't mean that we need to be trusted because whoever buys from us is also taking the risk of trusting us. And they had to be able to trust the brand. When I bought from, you know, from People AI back in 2019, you know, one of the things that I like is that I'm a big fan of, you know, our CEO, you know, Oliver Winsky, I'm sure you know him. I could trust that he was going to be driving the innovation. So if I bought from him, it wasn't not just going to be then, but it was going to be the innovation for the years to come. And I think all that has to play and come together. You know, I've been talking about this with, you know, with Anna from National Instruments, you know, a bunch of different times on that, the humanization of especially brands like National Instruments, PTC, much more hardcore technologies once upon a time. They've gone through this transformation where it's about putting the customer, putting the individual at the center of everything that we do and help. That's the way that I
see it. Well, I think that's a great way of thinking, Mariana. And believe it or not, we're actually at the end of our time. And that went really fast. So I think we could go on for a long time here, but we do have limited time. I wanted to hand it back to Kelsey to ask us our last question.
Mariana, I think this is a great question for you, given your new position as a CMO. But what advice would you give to those that are, you know, currently CMOs or aspiring to be one someday?
If I had to choose, let's say, three things, be accountable on whatever you do. Make sure that from the very beginning, you are saying, what are you going to be doing? And do it. Number two, really in the communication front, make sure that people know what you're doing, especially those working in large organizations. Make sure that you're mentors are there, your sponsors are there. Make sure that people know what you're doing. That's extremely important. And then thirdly, really move the needle. We were talking at length about that balance between the long term and the short term. You have to move the needle. It's not just about doing activities, not just about the, you know, the activity component, but really what was the impact? If you had a webinar, why did you do the webinar? How is it going to reflect again? Because it's all about delivering growth. So if you're accountable and you communicate and you're moving the needle, you're going to make it to the top.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Mariana. Make sure to follow the Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can email us at thenextcmo@plana.com. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Mariana.
Thanks, Mariana.
It's a great time. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Kelsey. Thank you, everyone.
Pod Forte Podcast.